It's Carrie Kaufman, and this is the Nevada Voice Podcast, Bridging the Education Divide. We're talking today to Tammy Hance-Lehr. She's the State Director of Communities in Schools Nevada. Communities in Schools sends people into schools, and its stated goal, is to make sure that people graduate. But what I've noticed, Tammy, in Nevada is that you do more than just make sure people graduate, right?
Well, yes. I mean, ultimately, Carrie, our job is to get kids across the finish line. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. But we are an evidence-based organization, and we're based kindergarten all the way through grade 12. And we do that succinctly because it's important for kids to know that getting support starts at school and education is important. We understand that kids do not just wake up their junior year and decide to drop out of school, that it's kind of been this slow process. And a lot of it has to do with the barriers that they've hit along the way. And ultimately, our job is to break down whatever barrier that is that's keeping those kids from coming to school and keeping them from coming to or from being successful.
Okay, so what are the main barriers you're seeing with a kid in like kindergarten or first grade?
Yeah, so K through kindergarten, first grade, those barriers are a couple different things. Those barriers could be as simple as a backpack, could be a new pencil, could be a pair of shoes, could be maybe emergent food or a hygiene kit, something on that level. The other barrier that we have with some of our kiddos on in those grades is they're either late to school or they might not be coming to school regularly. Mm-hmm. And so then when you have to look at that, that becomes a bigger issue. Like what are the barriers that the family is experiencing? And how can we do that? So by placing a full-time site coordinator in every school that we serve, we then can identify what the barriers are that these kiddos are facing. We can then relieve the teachers, because if the teachers can see a challenge with a child having maybe a behavior issue or coming to late every single day, they can refer them to our site coordinator, who can then work on what those problems are, allowing the teachers to teach and us do what we need to do. And if we need to make a call home to say, hi, I understand that Johnny's been late 4 times this week, how can we get him to school on time, and what can we do to solve those problems?
I want to be clear, you're saying site, S-I-T-E, not psych, like psychological.
Yes, no. Oh, okay. Good distinction. Site.
I heard that. And so you're doing things. We just did a discussion on absenteeism, yes, with some principals, with one of the principals that you're working with.
Yes.
Kim Basham.
Yes.
And at Robert Taylor, and talked about absenteeism and what needs to be done. How do you help the schools in particular? And like we were talking, the schools are taking that on to make sure that people get called and,
yes,
and that parents know that they need to get their kids there at a certain time. What are you doing to help relieve the schools or working in tandem with the school?
So first of all, we're a guest of the school. The principal makes the decision to have CIS on their campus. Mm. So that partnership has already started. And then at the beginning of the school year, so right now, we're meeting with all of our school administrators and we're creating a school support plan on what are the areas of need. And a lot of them, to your point, are chronic absenteeism. We then will work with the principals, the admin, the counselors, the social workers, and we will create, based on CIS's curriculum, which is over 40 years in the making because we're a national organization, here are the areas that we're going to focus on chronic absenteeism, and it's school-wide. So we focus on it across all grades, mm-hmm, and it might be different attendance incentive programs, different ways we've identified by maybe getting the families involved, maybe doing a family night early in the school year to identify them and show them that the school is actually a great place to come and you can get a lot of community resources here. We just identify in different ways, and then we work with them on every single grade to make sure they're coming to school by doing monthly goals, quarterly goals, and at the end, yearly goals. And if we can do that, we can usually help them reduce absenteeism by percentage points depending on the school and what their needs are.
So these goals, these incentive programs actually work?
Yes, they do work.
So I'm assuming you're working mostly with Title I schools? No? Yes?
Yes. Great. Okay. Great clarification. Actually, all of our schools here in Southern Nevada and in Western Nevada, because we are a statewide organization, are Title I schools, which means that at least 60% or more of the school's population qualify for free or reduced lunch.
And Western Nevada, you mean Elko, which
actually,
I consider Northern
Nevada. Western, I mean Reno.
Oh, Western, you mean
and
Reno.
Then,
I
but
see.
To your right. point, yes, I am also in Elko. which we call that Northeastern Nevada. Mm-hmm. And not all of our schools in Elko are Title I because they may not qualify for free or reduced lunch based on the economic factors of our families, but they may have other barriers. And so the Elko County School District has actually pays for us as a line item in their budget to have us in their schools because they have seen the need and the value that we bring to the table.
Okay. So how many schools do you have total in
this coming school year? We will be in 69 schools.
So I was at a discussion with you about absenteeism, mm-hmm. and the principals, it was mostly principals and support staff, and they were talking about, well, we could do this, and well, we could do that, and we need a study. And you just kind of popped up and said, look, we can put people in schools next week. We just need a little more money, and we'll get that, and we'll put people in schools next week. And I was like, How did that happen? So talk to me about what your approach is, where the money comes from, where you're getting the people to be able to put on these sites.
Sure. First of all, and I think any nonprofit, any successful nonprofit will tell you that we're always action oriented and we're always solution oriented. That's one of the reasons why nonprofits exist, right? Because there was a problem and somebody raised their hand and said, I'll help solve it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do every single day. So we have a proven entity in Southern Nevada specifically. We're just getting ready to go into our 15th school year. So we're already a proven entity and we know our wraparound holistic services work and that keeps kids in school. So to your point, my goal is to get as many schools as possible. My strategic plan puts me in 30 more schools mm-hmm. in 2 more years. Mm-hmm. So if we had to ramp up and go into 30 more or 30 more, we would make a difference and try to do that. How does that happen? So we are a public-private partnership, which means that every private dollar people donate to us, I at least can put another dollar that matches that into a school and into a program and ultimately getting kids across the finish line. You mentioned Title I schools. So schools can pay for us out of a few different areas. Title I dollars, which is our federal dollars, mm-hmm. they can use their Title I budget and pay for communities and schools to go into their program. There is a match, so they pay a certain portion, and then we have to find a private donor for every single school that we go into that is a match for that. And we're very fortunate that we do have some very generous corporations and family foundations that help us do that. But we're always looking for more because we know that there's more kids that are on the waiting list.
There are 330 schools in Clark County. Yes,
there are.
How, if every principal asked you to come into their school, would you be able to do that? And how long would it take you to be able to do that?
Well, if every principal did that, number one, I'd be doing my job right. So that's fantastic.
Okay.
I would create a capital campaign immediately like that. And my goal would be to do that in the next school year. That would be my goal. That would give me 366 days right now about to get that done and make that happen. Ultimately, if I can touch more kids and my site coordinators, it's really not about me.
Right.
These site coordinators we put in these schools, Carrie, are so incredible. The work that they do, the barriers they break down, I mean, what they do with our kids, in addition to being open to the entire school, we then case manage about 10% of the school's population. So we'll take Robert Taylor, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Robert Taylor, I have a site coordinator in there, Megan. Megan will work with about 65 students and really identify what their barriers are. And it might be where we're doing, tutoring 3 nights a week to get their math grade up. It might be giving them an alarm clock and literally writing out a schedule. Here's what time you're going to get up in the morning. Here's what time you're going to get your siblings ready for school. Here's what time you're going to have breakfast. Here's what time you're going to start walking. Because we do identify that we have third and fourth graders that are responsible for getting up themselves and their younger siblings while their parents are working a graveyard shift and they might not get off work until after school starts.
Right.
So these site coordinators are important. And so it's my job to do whatever it takes to get them the resources they need.
Okay. So where are you finding these site coordinators? I keep hearing that there's a problem getting really good counselors and psychologists and what have you. So what are the qualifications you're looking for and where are they coming from?
Yeah, great question. So our site coordinators, it tends to be, for many of them, their first job right out of graduating. So they might have a bachelor's degree in social work or maybe in public education or in criminal justice, something on that level. So this is a really good first job for them to kind of get their feet wet and their hands dirty a little bit to kind of see what areas they want to go into. A lot of our site coordinators, while they're working for us, are going back and getting their master's and then go on to become counselors, go on to be MFTs, go on to have something in the social services field. So that tends to be the area that we work work with and really kind of find some really great caring people that already volunteered and already kind of worked in that area or had a leaning to that.
So if a kid comes to them, say at the high school level or the junior high school level or, God forbid, even at the elementary level and says, I'm depressed, I'm suicidal, I'm having these problems, I'm having issues at home, my dad beats me up. Yeah. What do your site coordinators do?
Okay, so that's another great question because CIS cannot do this work alone.
Mm-hmm.
We partner with over 100 different agencies here in Nevada that help us do that work. So when that happens, and unfortunately it has,
it does.
We would, of course, notify our school because we do follow our Clark County School District guidelines, and anything where we feel like a child is in harm, we absolutely do report immediately. So we would, of course, go to, if we had a school counselor on staff, we would ultimately bring them into it. But a bigger picture like that, we would definitely have to, maybe we might have to get CPS involved, or if they were homeless, we might call Shenna West Homeless Youth Center, pick up the phone and call our friends over there, or mm-hmm. Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth. If there was some additional mental health, if they just needed someone to talk to, we have a partnership with Bridge Counseling. And so we would reach out to Bridge Counseling and they would come in and partner with our students and give them mental health. And I should also note, one of the ways that we identify barriers when there is a solution and we need to help find one. And I'll use Elko as an example. So we know in our rural areas, the lack of mental health is a big problem,
mm-hmm.
especially for our youngsters. So we have a partnership with, in our Elko schools, we have 7 schools in Elko, and about 4 of those schools, we have a partnership with UNLV, their graduate program, and our kids that are 13 years and over can schedule an online appointment, like a tele-appointment with the graduate students here at UNLV, that they can have a one-on-one therapy session with them. They're in Elko, they're here at UNLV, they're graduate students. It's a win for them, it's a win for my students, and they're able to actually talk about the fact that, yes, my dad was just deported last night, or my mom didn't come home, or I'm just, you know, tired, or whatever it is, they can have that conversation with that person. So we identify the barriers and then we try to find solutions. And that's where all these community partners come in.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit here. You've been in Nevada for 15 years. How long have you been with the organization?
I've been with the organization 2 years.
And you've been running it for 2 years? Or?
I've been the CEO, state director now for about 6 months. Prior to that, I was the resource development director for the state.
Okay, and this is a national thing. This has been around for a few decades, right?
Yes.
When we were kids, this was around.
40 years ago. So 40 years ago, Communities and Schools was founded by Bill Milliken, and his entire premise was programs don't change kids, people do. Mm. And it's that one-on-one relationship with a caring adult. And that's been our premise through the entire piece of this work. We're now in 26 states, including the District of Columbia. And nationally, we support 1.5 million children. Here in Nevada, because we touch, as I mentioned, our 69 schools, we will touch over 60,000 kids this year.
Wow. So we talked about elementary school kids.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the junior high school level, when you get to the high school level, are the problems different?
Yes, and they're different in both of those areas.
Okay.
So in our middle school areas, obviously our students are really just trying to understand who they are, right? They're not relying on their parents as much. They're trying to have a little bit of an independence. They're starting to maybe see there's some differences maybe between them and some other students in a variety of different ways. So in our middle schools, we really work on, and that's where our tier 2 services come in. We try to work with them in a lot of small groups. So we might do some leadership groups, some anti-bullying groups, some different groups to really start putting them with peers that maybe not be like them, but also letting them kind of work in those areas. So their barriers then also become more about them. It's not that mom and dad can't wake up and drive me to school. It's maybe that they didn't wake up to school. But then the barrier also becomes that they may have to stay home and watch their younger siblings because their parent couldn't find childcare.
Mm-hmm.
So now they couldn't come to school because they have to watch their younger siblings that don't go to school. So that becomes a different barrier that we have to try to overcome and help them try to find childcare solutions because our ultimate goal is to get their child to come to school. In high school, that becomes an entirely different situation. In high school, we actually put 2 site coordinators in every school. because we have 3,000, 2,500, 3,000 students.
Yes.
And so case managing just, to 65 isn't going to be enough. But here in Southern Nevada and actually in Elko and Northeastern Nevada, we actually are doing a program that no other CIS affiliate does across the country. We quickly identified that the students that were falling behind the cracks were also very credit deficient. And in order to get them across the finish line, the only way they can remediate classes is online. So we, through a donation through Nevada Women's Philanthropy, they donated laptops to all of our academy classes. An academy class, we pay the teacher prep buyout. So Carrie, if you're a teacher and you're off for third grade, we will pay your buyout and you will come and you'll teach a CIS class. We identify students that would maybe fall through the cracks or having a hard time. And we have this academy class that teaches life skills, financial literacy, career, and college readiness. The goal is to get them ready for either for career and college and let them decide from there. And we work with them on remediating their classes. So school district teacher will teach the class. Our site coordinators, one will take the junior class, one will take the senior class. Classes are somewhere in the area about 30, 35 students, and we will work with them on remediating those classes. We will work with them on, have you taken the ACT or the SAT? Have you thought about college? Yes, college can be for you. We'll take you on a college field trip. We'll help you pay and help you and with the college application fees, and we'll help you pay for those. We'll get kids across the finish line. And really exciting news to share, it's 7 academy classes this year in Southern Nevada. Out of 7 of my classes, 4 of them had 100% graduation rate.
Wow.
I know. Wow. And Carrie, I will tell you, these are students that when we started the school year, 25% of those kids were on track to graduate.
So what in terms of how many credits they were missing, like how much you catch them when they're juniors, yes, or do you catch them earlier?
Well, remember, I'm in high school, so I can case manage my freshman and sophomore kids. So when they're freshman and sophomore, we're still working with them, we're case managing them, we're identifying barriers. But once they get to a junior, we can then enroll them in academy class. That doesn't mean when they're freshmen and sophomores, we're not trying to help them remediate classes. We absolutely are. But this is an actual credited class that you can enroll in. So instead of signing up for an elective like, like band or something, you could sign up for this elective that is CIS Academy.
Got it. And how many credits are they generally missing before they?
Sometimes it could be, only 3. Sometimes it could be 12 or 15.
Phew. Okay. Talk to me about an instance that you remember that CIS did something that you thought was pretty miraculous.
Oh my God, Carrie, there's so many of them, but one instance, there's a young lady by the name of Whitney Cole. And Whitney was a junior at Cimarron Memorial High School. And she had so many absences that, and she has said this publicly, so I can share this story. Mm-hmm. She had so many absences that her administration and her teachers thought she had died.
Oh, wow.
CIS came to the picture and said, you need to come to school and you need to graduate. And we're going to help you do that. And she was very, very reticent in the beginning. Why are you helping me? Why would you want to help me? I'm going to go off. School's not for me. And through our site coordinator and the relationship they had with them, they got and worked with Whitney to not only remediate classes. At the end of her junior year, Whitney decided that she actually wanted to start her senior year and take other classes so she could make up some of her lower grades so she could graduate with honors, which she did. She graduated with honors from Cimarron Memorial High School. When she started, she was about 15 credits behind. She then graduated with honors. She then went on to UNLV. She graduated in 3.5 years. She went on to military school for about 6 months. And the even more sweetest part of this entire story is Whitney just became a site coordinator at Communities and Schools of Nevada. And she's going into one of our middle school programs.
That's awesome.
That is one of the most amazing stories. And that's what we do. We really look at these students that really have maybe given up on themselves and given up on life because they just hit one barrier after another. And we don't give up. Every student deserves to achieve in life and identify something that is bigger than them. And that's ultimately our goal.
So you go into these different schools. You have site coordinators in different schools. Right now we have a system where each school can make its own decisions with its budget and how the principal wants to do things and what have you. Are you seeing more diverse ideas coming through at these schools? Or are you seeing a lot of the same kind of decisions being made?
Yeah, we actually love the fact that our schools are autonomous, mm-hmm. because that means they can choose to have CIS, and that means that they want us there, and that they're going to be invested in the program.
So if they have you, they're on a specific track to begin with.
Exactly. If they have us, they've identified that they need more wraparound services and more holistic approach, mm-hmm. because some of the things that they can only control in the classroom. Really are only about education and books and things like that. The things that we can help them control are more about getting them to school, wraparound services. I mean, we've called home and we've had some of our parents say, I couldn't send our child to school today because I don't have money for laundry detergent. So now guess what do we put in some of our resources?
Right.
Laundry detergent. Laundry detergent or a bus pass or a backpack or a pair of shoes should never stand in the way of a child getting to school. But to circle back on your question, yes, our leadership and our administrators are so creative and they're so invested and they're so passionate about these students. They're really open to looking at all areas of what we can bring to the table as a collective group and the different ways that we can reach out and touch our students.
We've been talking to Tammy Hantzlera. She is the state director for communities in schools in Nevada. How many schools do you have total? 60-something?
We will be going into 69 schools across the state this upcoming school year.
Great. Thanks for being with us, Tammy.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Carrie.
Nevada Voice is bridging the education divide in three ways. We are holding town hall meetings every quarter to look at big issue, mostly financial issues. And we are holding monthly forums around Clark County to talk about the intersection of social issues and education. And we are doing these Nevada Voice podcasts every week. We would love to have you be part of the podcast. Go to nevadavoice.org or you can email me at carrie@nevadavoice.org. Thank you for listening. Pass it on to your friends and colleagues and maybe even your enemies. This is the Nevada Voice Podcast. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We'll see you next week.